Invite you to turn your Bibles, will, to Galatians chapter 6. Galatians chapter 6. And verse number 14 is our text verse for this morning. We've been singing this chorus from this verse in our Sunday school class for some time and added the latter part of the verse into it here this morning. And so in our cottage prayer meetings, we've had taken a devotion or, I don't know, a devotion, a lesson, a message from this verse and what the Scripture says concerning this. In Galatians 6, verse 14, "But God forbid that I should glory, save in the cross of our Lord Jesus Christ, by whom the world is crucified unto me, and I unto the world." But God forbid, we see those words in the Scripture in several different places, questions that are asked by the apostle or questions that are drummed up by naysayers and those who are ignorant of the way of God and the doctrine and teaching of our Lord. In several places it says, the answer is to those questions, those things that are brought up, God forbid. And that's just a way of saying God says no, by all means, no. That's the answer that God gives. Well, here our brother writes, our Lord gives to us, he leads it off with this thought of God forbid, God says no about glorying in anything other than the cross of our Lord Jesus Christ. There's nothing else to rejoice in. There's nothing else to have joy about. There's nothing else for there to be praise and honor and glorifying of God, anything greater than the cross of our Lord Jesus Christ. And so what we've been in search of is going to the Scriptures about the scriptural view of the cross. When that word is used, when cross is brought to you, crucifixion, what is it that we have in mind? Where is it that our minds go and our hearts go to this subject of the cross? What is the scriptural view of the cross? We don't have time to take and go through these previous lessons, but I do want to give you a little bit of information regarding them. The first, we took a look at the Gospels and where the Scripture plainly states that our Lord was crucified. He hung on a cross. And on that cross, our Lord suffered. He uttered many things. He was reviled and mocked and abused by the leadership of the Jews. He was put there by the Romans at the order of Pilate. He dealt with his mother and her future there with one of his disciples. Many of the women that had followed in the troop of the Lord Jesus Christ were there. And he died on a cross, the Scripture tells us. And we see in that thought that our Lord Jesus, he was a man, it says in Philippians 2:8, but he humbled himself, becoming obedient, even obedient unto death, even the death of the cross, which was a terrible, terrible death indeed. And in Hebrews 2:12-2, he endured the cross, the Scripture tells us. He despised the shame of it, but he endured the cross. And he accomplished it. He sat down at the right hand of the throne of God. In our second lesson last night at our cottage prayer meeting, we took a look how it says in Deuteronomy that he that is hung upon a tree is accursed of God. The Lord gave the Israelites, the nation of Israel, as he is making them and giving them their order civilly and religiously in their worship of him, he tells that if a man, in Deuteronomy 21, if a man's done a sin, committed a sin worthy of death, and it be that he be put to death and hung on a tree, it's not right for him and pleasing to the Lord for him to hang there into the night. Take him down and bury him, that the land would not be defiled that the Lord has given to them. We come to Acts, the book of Acts, and Galatians and 1 Peter, where our brethren, as they preach, and Brother Peter, namely, as he preaches about the Lord Jesus Christ, as they are told to hush about this preaching of Jesus of Nazareth by the Jewish authorities and leadership, they say that you're intending to bring this blame for this man's death upon us. And it was true. They put him to death. They gave him to Pilate. Our Lord Jesus, as we saw recently, he told Pilate, he said, the ones that have delivered me to you have the greater sin. But they're backing up and they're backpedaling about this of having killed Jesus, putting him to death, slaying him, as the scripture says. Our brethren, as they preach and they give answer, they say that our Lord Jesus was hanged on a tree, a timber. And so we wonder, and it causes me to wonder, and we have our King James translation of the scriptures, the Lord providing and blessing that we have this in English. But along this same line, I wonder how it is about this word cross and the utilitarian necessity of the Romans and so many that they put to death. Was it in fact two timbers like this, or was it in fact just a timber that the man, our Lord Jesus, the God-man, was nailed to? In a handful of verses, they make this reference about him being hanged on a tree. And he was accursed of God for our sakes. The point is not that we know for sure whether it was a timber or whether it was a cross, but that we understand indeed that the object of this phrase, the cross, is not a physical piece of hardware, but the object is our Lord Jesus Christ and all that he's done. I think we find in the scriptures, and we see in Colossians chapter 1, verse 20, it says, "And having made peace through the blood of his cross," Jesus' cross, "by him to reconcile all things to himself, by him, I say, whether they be things in earth or in things in heaven, he shed his blood that day." And that's what's important, not the instrument of his suffering. And in our church, we've not chosen to have a cross up here in the baptistry or on the top of the building. And I think that that's appropriate and right. I don't make quarrel with any of our brethren that do in their churches, church house or that. We are careful not to have crucifixes about, as the universalist, the Catholicism is, and Protestants are. Our Lord is risen. And so we see here in this consideration, cross or tree, we come to understand that what's talked about when that reference is made about a tree, what's being talked about is what our Lord has done, not the instrument. Not the instrument. And we find indeed that that is a summary way, the cross is a summary term, a phrase to tell what our Lord has done and what he accomplished so long ago. Understand that timber or those timbers are long rotted away and gone back to the earth. But you know what? Our Lord Jesus lives. He lives forevermore. And we praise his name for what he did for us that day some 2,000 years ago. We come to this consideration this morning, but God forbid that I should glory save in the cross of our Lord Jesus Christ. In John chapter 19, as we take a look here through the Gospels, we find here, I believe, if I understand it right, a brother in the Lord. And in John 19, verse number 16, we see this, that the scripture says, "Then delivered he him," Pilate, the Lord Jesus Christ, "therefore unto them to be crucified. And they took Jesus and led him away. And he, bearing his cross, went forth into a place called the place of the skull," which is called in the Hebrew tongue, Golgotha. So we see here that our Lord Jesus Christ indeed bore a physical piece of wood. It was part of the torment, I believe, of that Roman execution, the statement that Rome was making among her inhabited land. "Don't you cross us. Don't you go against our authority, or we will make you suffer terribly. We will shame you, and we will torture you, and we will kill you." That's the statement that Rome made. Rome ruled with an iron fist indeed. And our Lord Jesus, he carried this cross, carried this timber for his people's sake there till Golgotha. In Luke chapter 23, in this same account of our Lord. We see something else here in Luke 23, verse number 32. And there were also two other malefactors led with him to be put to death. And when they were come to the place which is called Calvary, there they crucified him and the malefactors, one on the right hand and the other on the left. Our Lord Jesus, carrying his own cross or own pole, own tree, own timber, however that was, stands to reason those malefactors did the same for themselves. And they were beat and they were whipped to carry that instrument of death to that hill for the death that would be meted out upon them. In verse number 26 of this chapter, we read here earlier on from where this is mentioned in verse 32, and verse 26, and as they led him, Jesus, away, they laid hold upon one Simon, a Cyrenian, coming out of the country, and on him they laid the cross that he might bear it after Jesus. So our Lord Jesus carried it for a while. And understand, don't believe Hollywood about the failing strength of the Lord not being able to bear his own cross. And because of that, they chose out a man to bear his cross for him. You find that in Hollywood, but you don't find that in the Scriptures. But I think this is part of the mockery of them dealing with the King of the Jews. Why should a king bear his own cross? And so they compelled this man to take and carry the cross of our Lord Jesus, that timber upon which he was nailed to that day. And so Jesus for a while, the two malefactors for a while, and Simon for a while, did indeed physically carry a cross or a timber or a tree or a pole that day. These things I know are academic, and I trust we know them well, and it may seem that it's just very simple for us to even review such a point, but we need to truly understand this about what is the scriptural understanding about the cross. We are so fed by the world, the secular world and the religious world, and those things permeate us and get into us, and it changes and alters our thinking. But we need to have our thinking as the children of God according to what our Lord has told us. Not be affected by this world, and indeed we are. And the only way to have the effects of this world pushed out from us is to know the truth from our Lord. These men, our Lord Jesus, it says in Mark 15 regarding Simon, and they compel one Simon, a Cyrenian, who passed by coming out of the country, the father of Alexander and Rufus, Brother Mark knows, to bear his cross. These men did indeed, as many, many hundreds, maybe even thousands of others, did carry their cross, their pole, their timber, there to be killed by the Romans, to be executed by the Romans there outside of Jerusalem. They really did it. Have any of us ever had to do such a thing? No. No. Nowhere close. Maybe there are some that my father-in-law worked in the sawmill of his father when he was young, and he carried timbers. He can tell you about how heavy timbers are. He did it for work, did it for hire, did it for a part of their family business. But these men, they carried a cross to their death. Except for Simon. In Matthew chapter 16, we see our Lord Jesus in the day of his ministry referring to this very term. And I think in these passages indeed, we see the focus and the thinking that we are to have, not on the instrument, but our focus on the object, the one that is the object. And what he has done for us and what he says unto us indeed. These, as we've seen in these earlier passages, they indeed took up a cross physically and carried it. But Jesus says in Matthew chapter 16, verse number 13, and when Jesus came to the coast of Caesarea Philippi, he asked his disciples, saying, whom do men say that I, the Son of Man, am? And they said, some say that thou art John the Baptist, others Elias, and others Jeremias, or one of the prophets. He said unto them, but whom say ye that I am? And Simon Peter answered and said, thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God. Jesus answered and said unto him, blessed art thou, Simon Barjona, for flesh and blood hath not revealed it unto thee, but my Father which is in heaven. You know some truth, Simon, has been revealed to you by God Almighty. But I say unto thee, Peter, that thou art Peter, and upon this rock I will build my church. We understand that the Lord is not talking about Peter, but indeed ultimately referring to himself, referring possibly to a figure there in the place where they were there in Caesarea Philippi, to Peter being a man and his name meaning a stone, but the rock that the Lord, the mountain, the hill that the Lord is referring to is many million times larger than what Peter or a stone would be, ultimately referring to himself. He's upon this rock will I build my church, and the gates of hell, that of the death of men, shall not prevail against it. And I will give unto thee the keys of the kingdom of heaven. Speaking to his church, we understand, taking those from Israel and giving them to his church. And whatsoever thou shalt bind on earth shall be bound in heaven, and whatsoever thou shalt loose on earth shall be loosed in heaven. Then charged he his disciples that they should tell no man that he was Jesus the Christ. Right now, keep it to yourselves. Verse 21. From that time forth began Jesus to show unto his disciples how that he must go unto Jerusalem and suffer many things of the elders and the chief priests and be killed. And in that, bear his cross physically. But you know what? Even more than that, bear his cross physically and spiritually. What is our Lord Jesus' cross? And be railed again, be raised again the third day, the accomplishing of his gospel. It's very much along the line of what our Lord Jesus refers to as his baptism. He was long, 3 years ago, baptized by John the Baptist, but he said down here before him, he going to the cross of Calvary and dying and being buried and risen from the dead, how I've got a baptism to be baptized with, and I'm in a strait till it be accomplished. That was his baptism, the death, burial, and resurrection that he accomplished. He was immersed in it totally and completely, wasn't he? When our Lord Jesus died, he gave his body, he gave his soul, and he shed his blood, and the life of that body was poured out for his people's sake, for sinners' sakes. That was his cross. That was his baptism indeed. He began to show his disciples, verse 21, how they must go to Jerusalem and suffer many things of the elders, chief priests, and scribes, be killed and raised again the third day, verse 22. Then Peter took him and began to rebuke him, saying, be it far from thee, Lord, this shall not be unto thee. But he turned, Jesus turned and said unto Peter straightway, get thee behind me, Satan, for thou art an offense unto me, for thou savorest not the things that be of God, what I have told you, Peter. But those that be of men, what you want instead. Then said Jesus unto his disciples, if any will come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross and follow me. Does he want you and I to do like Rufus, or Simon rather? And make us a wooden pole or a wooden timber or a cross of two beams and carry it about? You know, there's many people that go to Jerusalem to do that very thing. Is that what Jesus wants us to do? Do we need to seek to build or buy a complement of crosses that we can meet for services and have them out here in the parking lot and drag them in here to the pews and in the services and lay them down? Is that what the cross is about? It's not, is it? It's very plain that it's not. Our Lord Jesus says, if any will come after me, will follow me, will be my disciple, will be my student, will be my follower, You remember, I trust in the Gospels that the Lord Jesus Christ says it's not right, and it's not the way that it works that a disciple would be above his master. But every disciple looks to be as his master, not above, but to seek, to meet, and to strive to be like the one that teaches us, that instructs us, that guides us and directs us. He said, if they've done these things to me, look out, they're going to do things to you indeed. He bore his cross, and he did it for our sakes. Are we to seek to be nailed, have it to be times in the year where or some of the men of our church would be actually fastened to some kind of instrument like this, a pole or a tree, and put out here in the front of the church house for all the world to see, trying to mock and symbolize what Christ did for us? We can't even touch it. But our Lord has told us to take up our cross. If we're going to be worthy of Him, if we're going to be His disciple, if we're going to go after Him, look here, what do we see? We must deny ourselves. What do you think about that? Are you ready to deny yourself? Are you ready, young person, are you ready to deny yourself? Has the Lord saved you, middle-aged person, older person? Are you ready to deny yourself, or do you want what you want and hope it fits with what the Lord says? If any man, if anyone, and if any man, woman, boy, or girl, if any will come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross and follow me. For whosoever will save his life, verse 25, shall lose it. You save your life to yourself, you're going to lose it indeed. And whosoever will lose his life for my sake shall find it. Verse 26, for what is a man profited if he shall gain the whole world and lose his own soul? Or what shall a man give in exchange for his soul? You gain the whole world? Is that going to be able to, you're going to be able to take the whole world and the wealth thereof, the fame thereof, the notoriety thereof, and lay it down at the Lord's feet to gain the salvation of your soul? No, it's only found by what our Lord has done. Is the only way sinners are saved, by the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ. For the Son of Man, verse 27, shall come in the glory of his Father with his angels, and then he shall reward every man according to his works. Does the Lord really mean anything to you and I? Is he our Savior? Did he bear his cross for us? Oh, yes, he has. To take up our cross for our Lord is not to take up a physical instrument, but to deny ourselves and be obedient to him. To be obedient to him in every whit and facet of life. In Mark chapter 8, this same account is mentioned here in verse number 34. And when he had called the people unto him with his disciples also, he said unto them, whosoever will come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross and follow me. You know what? You've got to deny yourself to follow the Lord Jesus. You and I have to deny ourselves. And that is our cross to bear. Maybe a better way to say it, that is our burden to bear. But the thing is, what is it about the new man, as we've studied and looked at, and the Scripture tells us in recent times? The new man is always about the Lord. He's all the new man within us, the Spirit of God that lives within, always wants to be obedient to the Lord, always wants to follow the Lord. John goes so far to tell us the truth that the new man does not sin. You know what the burden is? You know what the cross is? It's to this old flesh. It's to the denying of self and what this old flesh wants as it's engaged with this world. And we in the new man say no to that. And we follow our Lord. Following our Lord in the Spirit is always good, always a blessing, always filled with joy. Oh, it may be hard on the flesh like Brother Job suffered. But if we know and understand our Lord is working in us and refining us and trying us and proving us and helping us, we will arrive at a better end, won't we? The cross. What is it that our Lord speaks of? I like this in Luke chapter 9, verse number 23, in this same account. Luke chapter 9. Look here. Look here at the distinction that is made here. In Luke chapter 9, the same account as we've read there in Matthew. In verse number 23, the Lord Jesus says, "And he said to them all, if any man will come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross daily and follow me." It's a day-to-day thing. And you know what? It's a thing that the children of God, that you and I, that we face today. Will I take up my service and obedience to the Lord and go forward for Him? Your life may not look much different at all than it looks on a day that you don't. But are we living life for self? Are we doing and buying and pursuing and working for ourselves or for our Lord? Are we, in all that we do, are we a witness of what the Lord has done for us and how He has rescued us? As we bear the burden, the witness of our Lord to a lost and dying world. Lord Jesus says, you and I must do so daily. In Mark 8, verse 35, our Lord Jesus says there, "For whosoever will save his life shall lose it, but whosoever shall lose his life for my sake in the Gospels," there's that witness of the Lord, the Gospel, the death, burial, and resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ. That He's King, that He's our Creator, that He is supreme indeed, that He's number one, He's before number one, He's preeminent. And we live for Him. What is it the Scripture says? We're bought with a price. We're not our own. This rest of the life that I have, it's not Jim Duke's, it's our Lord Jesus. Daily bearing our cross, not a physical cross, but a cross that is typified and shown in our Lord Jesus. What was it? He was sent on a mission by the Father, wasn't he? You and I have been sent on a mission. He was obedient to the Father in every respect, looking to the Word of God even, the Old Testament Scriptures written before the time of His physical life. He looked to those Scriptures to always fulfill them. Hear that? And you and I have the Old Testament Scriptures and the New Testament Scriptures. And we always need to be looking to fulfill them in our life, being obedient to them in our life. The cross that the Lord Jesus Christ bore was that He gave Himself when there was none other that could give Himself for us. We needed Him. Without Him, we have no hope. And you know what? There's people that need us. There's people that need us. There's people that, they don't need our money. They need us. And that's what Jesus did for us. He bore His cross indeed for us. In Mark chapter 10, there's this rich young ruler, as we refer to him. And he comes to the Lord Jesus. I think in a nutshell, we can summarize it that the man says, "I've obeyed all the law, but I have no peace and surety that I have everlasting life." He comes to Jesus and said, "How can I know? How can I have it? How can I know that I've got eternal life indeed?" And Jesus poses these things of the law unto him, and he says, "I've done all these since the time I was young. My folks taught me and I've pursued them and all that." In verse number 21, then Jesus, beholding him, loved him. This man needed the truth from the Lord Jesus, didn't he? He needed the Lord Jesus to spend some time to tell him indeed what he needed. He loved him and said unto him, "One thing thou lackest, go thy way, sell whatsoever thou hast, and give to the poor, and thou shalt have treasure in heaven, and come, take up the cross, and follow me." This is before Jesus even went to the cross of Calvary. Lay down your life. Lay down what you want. Lay down your pursuits and follow me. That was the one thing that he lacked, wasn't it? Or the one that he lacked was the Lord Jesus Christ. Are you here without Jesus as Savior? I tell you what, one thing you lack, and that's him. You don't need religion. You don't need a creed. You don't need religious works and religious pursuits. You need the Lord Jesus Christ. You need him living within. You need the Holy Spirit that he alone can give. You need the Lord. And you need to go to him and cry out unto him that he might have mercy upon your soul. He said, come take up the cross. See, Jesus is a man not doing the normal things of life, right? In the prime of his life, having a family, having a wife, having a children, a family, a career, a pursuit. No, but he was doing what the Father gave him to do. He says, take up the cross and do what the Father gives you to do. Here in this, in Matthew chapter 10, rather, in Matthew chapter 10, look what the Lord Jesus says. The cross. The scriptural view of the cross. In Matthew chapter 10, verse number 32, the Lord says here, but whosoever shall deny me before men, him will I also deny before my Father which is in heaven. Think not that I am come to send peace on earth. Well, I thought that's what the angel said. Well, it will be peaceful when the Lord accomplishes what he came to accomplish. But in this of Jesus and his doctrine and his truth, it is not a peaceable thing amongst men of the earth. I came not to send peace, but a sword. For I am come to set a man at variance against his father, and a daughter against her mother, daughter-in-law against her mother-in-law. And a man's foe shall be they of his own household. Verse 37, he that loveth father or mother more than me is not worthy of me. The Lord says what he says, and mom and dad say what they say. Who are you and I going to follow? We need to follow the Lord. Our Lord is not telling us to hate our parents. We're to honor our parents and to love our parents, but our love for the Lord is to be far and exceeding above our love for any. And he that loveth son or daughter more than me is not worthy of me. God says this, and our children want to do this. Where are we found? And he that taketh not his cross and followeth after me is not worthy of me. The calling of the Lord upon us, the impact of the Word of God upon us, the seeking the kingdom of our Lord above all. If we don't take up our cross and follow after our Lord Jesus, who we claim and we say is our Savior, we're not worthy of him. He that findeth his life shall lose it, and he that loses his life for my sake shall find it, as we've read. And so on. In Luke chapter 14, in this same account, it's worded there in verse 27, and whosoever doth not bear his cross and come after me, because you know what? That's the only way you can come after the Lord, is by bearing your cross. But it's not a physical timber or a two timbers put together in the form of a T or an X, is it? It's denying of self, denying of the world, denying of the flesh, denying of sin and the way of Satan and the way of depravity. And it's the following and honoring of our Lord in every minute and second of life that we have remaining. He said, you don't bear your cross, you and I don't bear, whosoever doth not bear his cross and come after me cannot be my disciple. You know, it comes down to a very real and truthful thing, that talk is cheap. Talk is cheap, isn't it? But our actions prove indeed what we are. I give you this thought for coming messages regarding this. Do you have to tell people that you're a Christian or a child of God? Or do they know it? Do you have to wear a symbol that shows that you're a child of God and you claim this of the cross? Or do people just know it? How is it that our Lord would have us to be? That we have to tell? Or by our way of life and our bearing of our daily cross, people know it. In our text verse in Galatians chapter 6, but God, verse number 14, but God forbid that I should glory save in the cross of our Lord Jesus Christ. Is it talking about the timbers? Is it talking about the wood? Is it talking about that? And all that's long gone. Now, I think our scriptural view that we have from our Lord in this of the cross is our Lord Jesus and all of His, as we've talked about recently and seen from the Scriptures, His faithfulness for our sakes. What He did for us that we could not do. And what He's doing for us now that we cannot do. We glory in Him. Indeed, it is a summary way, because in that of the cross, we see what we observed last Sunday in the Lord's Supper. He gave His body and He shed His blood. And it's not this that we see, is it? But it's our Lord Jesus and what He's done for us. Look well on what this verse says. It's tucked right in here in it. But God forbid that I should glory save in the cross of our Lord Jesus Christ. Listen, by whom the world is crucified unto me. The crucifixion of the world unto us is that cross that we pick up and bear daily. No, I want no part of the wicked way of the world, the deceptive way of the world, the deceitfulness of sin. He said, I glory in what the Lord has done for me and what He did for me that so long ago. The world is crucified by that unto me. And what's it say? And I'm crucified into the world. In regards to the world, I'm dead. Just like Paul said, as we've seen recently, take all my works and throw them on the trash heap. I want no part of that. Give me the righteousness of my Lord. To this old world, I'm dead to this world, because I'm alive unto my Lord by my Lord. The scriptural view of the cross. May our Lord help us. Help us indeed. If you're here and you're not saved, we point you to our Lord Jesus. He's a wonderful Savior. He is the Savior. He's the way, the truth, and the life. And today you can be forgiven of your sins and know so that you have everlasting life. Not a man that came to Jesus that was tormented about whether he had everlasting life or not. But you can have forgiveness, salvation, and everlasting life today. Repent of your sins and believe in the Lord Jesus Christ. It's just that simple, because salvation is of the Lord. We don't save ourselves. If you're trying to save yourself, quit trying to save yourself. You can't save yourself. It's the Lord that saves. Hear and believe what He says. That's the command unto sinners like you and me.